As we continue to lay foundational truths in the book of Genesis, when we get to chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, we find there the beginning of sin in the world. Verse 6, if you'll turn, Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now turning over to verse 21. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. From the beginning, God has declared that the effect of sin in a person's life is ultimately sorrow. As God began to speak to Adam and to Eve concerning the consequence of their sin, three times over, God mentioned the sorrow that was to be brought to them as the result of their sin. Now, that is very interesting because Satan is always seeking to associate sin with pleasure. As we read concerning Eve, she saw that the fruit was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. And it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Good, pleasurable, desirable. That is always the picture that Satan paints of sin. Ah, oh, this is something that is great. This is something that'll bring you pleasure. This is something that is very desirable. And so Satan seeks to relate pleasure to sin, whereas God always relates sorrow to sin. The first reaction of sin is often very positive. It's very exciting. It was extremely thrilling. And you immediately seek to draw others into your little circle. Even as Eve, the minute she ate it, she had the first reaction was positive. She gave to Adam that he also might eat. But the ultimate effect and result of sin is always that of sorrow. Sin, though it may seem fun at the beginning, will always end in grief. It appears to be desirable, but yet it will always bring man to death. The end result of sin is still sorrow. Now, as we look around the world today, we see how it bears the testimony of this fact. All of the sorrow, all of the grief, all of the suffering in the world has resulted from sin. I think one of the greatest sorrows that we can experience is the sorrow of having a loved one die. I don't know of any grief that compares to that, except it would be perhaps the grief of having a loved one incapacitated totally and continue to live. But the grief of death is indeed a very heavy thing. The sorrow. From whence came death? It resulted from sin. God had said, in the day that you eat, you will die. And if you will trace back each sorrow, each grief, each pain that man experiences, you'll find that going back, they all came about as the result of sin. Now, one of the interesting aspects of heaven is that the Bible says there will be no sorrow there. You see, the absence of sin in heaven is going to bring an absence of sorrow. The Bible says that there will be no more pain, no more suffering. God shall wipe away all tears. Because with the absence of sin, that which has brought the grief and the sorrow to mankind will be gone. And thus, though in your mind you may still associate up front sin with pleasure, in reality, sin is far more accurately related to sorrow than to pleasure. As the scripture says concerning Moses, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season. Because though sin may bring you pleasure at the beginning, it is always just a season that you may enjoy the sin, but it eventuates in eternal sorrow and grief. So it is wrong to equate sin with pleasure in our minds. That is Satan's delusion. Far more accurate to relate sin with sorrow and grief. That is God's truth. Now when Adam and Eve sinned, bringing the sorrow that accompanies sin into the world, realizing their guilt, suddenly becoming conscious and aware of their nakedness, we are told that they sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. They made themselves aprons out of these sewed fig leaves. This was the beginning of man's attempts to cover his guilt. How often we see people today trying to somehow cover the guilt of sin in their life that they feel by some work of their own hands. And as we see man today trying to somehow expunge himself from the guilt complex, it is almost humorous the things that they are doing to try to get rid of the guilt feeling. It would be humorous if it weren't so tragic. We see them shaving their heads, putting on white robes, dancing down the sidewalk to the rhythm of their finger cymbals. They're trying to be holy. They're trying to expunge their conscience of guilt. Or we see them sitting in grotesque positions, or standing on their heads as they go through a series of chants. What are you doing on your head chanting there, man? Oh, I'm getting rid of the guilt. I'm holy. I'm purifying my body and my mind. Now, there are some spiritual hucksters who are aware of man's need of feeling a relief from the guilt of his sin and realizing that man is incurably self-righteous. They have devised ways of making merchandise of these people and profiting off of this feeling that a man has of a necessity of getting rid of his guilt. And so they began to make merchandise of people. And they set them in airports, pinning flowers on the unwary travelers, and then asking for a donation. Or they put them in the parking lots of the shopping center selling peanuts. Or they send them around door to door peddling magazines. And because a man feels a sense of guilt and a necessity to do something to get rid of that guilt, they are an easy prey for these spiritual hucksters who put them to work in these things, telling them and assuring them that somehow they are going to be more righteous and can atone for their wrongs by doing these things. And thus, as the New Testament warns, they make merchandisers of these people, profiting off of them. They say, hey, we'll sell you a series of studies that will lead you into the light for $100. Totally ignoring the fact that Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. And remembering not that when Jesus went into the temple and saw them making merchandise in his father's house, it created anger in his heart. And he drove them forth because they sought to make merchandise out of the things of God. God is not any less angry with those merchandisers of religion today than he was in those days when he walked on earth. Now, how does God view all of these efforts of man to rid himself of his sin or the consciousness of sin? How does God view all of my good works? All of my resolves? Listen to what God has to say about it himself. God said, your righteousness is like filthy rags. But wait a minute, Lord. That's the best I can do. It took me a long time to gain this degree. Man, to stand on your head for 15 minutes, Lord, isn't easy. And it's rather embarrassing to dance down the street. Filthy rags in the eyes of God. Unacceptable. Fig leaves sewn together. All of your good works and charitable acts cannot cover the guilt of your own sin. Adam and Eve sewed aprons of fig leaves to cover their nakedness, but what a shabby way to cover a naked body. Fig leaves aren't that strong. Thread will pull right through it. And at best, they'll dry in a few days and fall off. And so you're going to have to sew a new one, and a new one, and a new one. In other words, it speaks of a continual thing. It's not going to last. When you get involved in a works trip for righteousness, there's no end. There's no place to get off. It is a continuing effort, a continuing work, until you get so tired that you can't go on any further. And so, God made unto them, coats of skins. In other words, God gave them fur coats. They were trying to cover their bodies with fig leaves, and God gave them fur coats to cover themselves. Notice, God gave. Here and immediately we begin to see that righteousness is not something that we can make ourselves or sew together or fabricate. Righteousness comes to us, a covering for sin comes to us as a gift from God. God gave unto them coats of skins. Secondly, it means that God had to slay the animal in order to give them the skin for a coat. Perhaps they watched God kill the lambs, take the coat of skin off of it, and give it to them. And therein, they began to get the concept and the idea that sin brings death, and that it is necessary for sin to be covered that there be a sacrifice and death. For it was right at the beginning that the concept of sacrifice for sin was implanted in the minds of man. So their sons, Cain and Abel, brought their sacrifices unto God, and Abel took one of the lambs out of his flock and offered it as a sacrifice unto the Lord. And he was accepted by God. So very, very early in the consciousness of man, there was the awareness that sin brings death, and the only way sin can adequately be covered is by the sacrifice, death, of an animal. And thus, as the law was developed, they were told that they were to bring unto God a bullock or a lamb for a sin offering. They were to lay their hands upon the animal. They were to confess their sins upon that animal, and then the animal was to be slain, and the blood was to be offered as a covering for man's sin and man's guilt. It all goes back to the garden, where God gave to them coats of skins. The idea of the sacrifice, the animal giving its life to cover for man's guilt. But you say, an animal cannot cover man's guilt. Killing an animal can't take away man's sin. That's right. You're exactly right. That's what the Bible teaches. That it is impossible that the blood of bulls or goats can put away your sins. All they could do was to bring to you an awareness of a covering for sin. But they could not put away your sins. But what they did speak of was a sacrifice that God was to make of his only begotten Son, that by his sacrifice, sin could be put away once and for all. And so that which was hinted at the Garden of Eden was fulfilled by God when God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and God laid upon him the iniquities of us all, and Jesus died in our place in order that God might clothe us not with our own works of righteousness, but now with that righteousness of his only begotten Son, which he imputes to us who simply believe and trust in him. Every man is guilty of attempting to sew fig leaves together to cover his own guilt. We have all had our turn at the needle and thread. We have all of us tried in some way to cover our guilt or to do a good thing to atone for the wrong. So much so that it's hard to give your wife a box of candy or a bouquet of flowers for fear that she might think that you're trying to somehow atone for something wrong. So we have special days like Mother's Day so you can give it without suspicion. We all know what it is to try to cover guilt by our own righteousness or our own good works or our own efforts. But God looks upon them as inadequate and insufficient. And in reality, we do too. Because somehow the consciousness of guilt lingers on. And so God has provided for us a covering. That covering is through Jesus Christ. And through his death, God has put away our guilt and our sins. It comes to me as a gift from God. I cannot cover my guilt. I cannot atone for the evil. And thus God has done for me what I could not do for myself. And God has provided my righteousness by my simple faith and trust in Jesus. And as a result, I have fellowship with God restored to me now because my sins are put away. I also have a freedom from the guilt because I realize that God has put away my sin and my guilt. Something my fig leaves could never do. The removal of my guilt, the covering, has been done for me by that work of God in Jesus Christ. And God today is offering to clothe you in his righteousness if you'll just simply believe and trust. Nothing else will really cover. You must accept God's gift. Shall we pray? Father, we just ask you today to work now in our hearts by your Holy Spirit, helping us, Lord, to realize that all of our vain efforts and works really accomplish nothing as to a righteous standing before thee. Our best efforts are rejected. And thus, Lord, may we cease from our own labor and may we enter into your rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ and be clothed in his righteousness through faith. In his name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? And so here you stand before God this morning, and as God looks down, he sees either the fig leaves or the fur coat. Your own efforts by which you're attempting to stand before God, or you're accepting of that work that he has wrought in your behalf. I'll tell you, it was a great day when I got out of the fig leaves. And the business of making fig leaf aprons. And I began to just trust the Lord for a righteous standing. Cleanse me, O God. Forgive me, O God. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. The day that I cast myself upon his mercy and his grace was the happiest day of my life. And it will be the happiest day of your life. For once, you'll feel adequately clothed, adequately covered in that beautiful work of God. If you would like to receive God's work of righteousness, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room this morning. The pastors will be back there to pray with you. Now may the Lord be with you and watch over you through this week. May the hand of the Lord be upon your life to guide you in all of your activities, in all of your interactions, in all that you do. And may God grant unto you mothers here this morning a very special blessing and an enrichment in this crummy society when motherhood is being put down at the bottom of the totem pole. May you recognize that God puts you at the top and honors motherhood as one of the greatest ministries and honors that he could bestow upon anybody. And may you be enriched in your ministry to your children and to your home. And may the hand of God's blessing be upon you and the richness of his love and of his grace sustaining you. And taking the daily routine out of the area of the mundane and putting over it a spiritual, holy glow that you might recognize your ministry as unto the Lord, receiving from him that reward of his honor and his glory. God be with you. God keep you in the love of Jesus Christ.